Wholesaling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. Now, start your engines. This is the Chasing Checkers Podcast with Chase McCabe on Nashville's best sports talk,
ESPN
102.5 The Game.
Ah, yes, it is good to hear that intro again. Welcome in to the Chasing Checkers Podcast on thegamenashville.com, iTunes, Google Play, wherever you get your podcasts. We have it for you here on Chasing Checkers. Chase McCabe hanging out with you, and I decided, a lot of people have been tweeting at me at Chase on Game, and they've said, hey, where's Chasing Checkers? When are you going to bring it back? So here's the short version of where it went and now why it's back. Obviously, I have a little more time on my hands during social distancing and everything going on, but eventually that's going to go away. But I'm going to make time to do this podcast. So the reason it went away last summer, I obviously got promoted to a full-time on-air position at ESPN 102.5 The Game here in Nashville. And with that and my duties with the Nashville Predators Radio Network, I just didn't have a ton of time to be able to devote to this podcast because we also aired it, and so I was just trying to time things out. Well, I decided that I'm going to bring it back because the sport is gaining momentum. They're going to come back on May 17th, and I'm going to make this strictly a podcast. And we're going to, some weeks it might be an hour, some weeks it might be 30 minutes, getting some great interviews from NASCAR. I felt that it was time to bring back Chasing Checkers. So I'm excited to do it. We're going to promote it even more, along with my midday show, Darren Donick and Chase, 2 to 6 weekdays on ESPN 102.5 The Game. So I'm excited. I'm excited to have Chasing Checkers back. So this is what is on tap for this one. Obviously, NASCAR making the announcement that it will return to racing May 17th. So where we are in the season, what the schedule looks like, what that means. Landon Castle, who has been a big part of iRacing, also a driver, he will join the show. You'll also hear from Larry McReynolds and John Roberts. Both Larry McReynolds still with Fox Sports, John Roberts long time with Fox Sports, now Sirius XM. So a lot to get into, so let's do it. May 17th, we're all going back. NASCAR is coming back to the track. Now, it's going to look a little bit different because, as we know, the fans will not be there at Darlington, South Carolina. The schedule is going to look different, but that's okay because NASCAR basically will be the first sport that returns with the coronavirus pandemic still ongoing. I think this is huge for the sport, though, because it gives fans something to watch. Fans of the sport, obviously, they will be able to watch and see their favorite drivers get on the racetrack again. But it also creates the opportunity for new fans. That is what is exciting about this, that fans that have not really been a fan of the sport at all, or they left for whatever reason, they didn't like the racing, it gives them an opportunity to come back. And I think that there have been some fans watching the old races that Fox Sports, that NBC, that YouTube, that they have been showing, and maybe they've gotten hooked again. Maybe they've been checking out iRacing, but now they're going to have live races that they will be able to check out on Fox and Fox Sports 1 starting May 17th at the Darlington Raceway. So let's give you the schedule because I know it's a little bit different than what was originally advertised, but this is what they have to do with South Carolina, with North Carolina, working with NASCAR. It's driving distance. Both tracks, of course, are driving distance from the race shops in the Charlotte area. So it makes it a little bit easier for the teams to pull this off. They don't have to worry about flying and all of that stuff. So they're going to get it going again starting May 17th at the Darlington Raceway. All right, so here is the schedule. As mentioned, May 17th, the Cup Series at Darlington. That is a Sunday on Fox, 2:30 Central Time start, a 400-mile race. Tuesday night at Darlington, the Xfinity Series will hit the track that is too tough to tame, the Lady in Black. 7 o'clock Central Time, a 200-mile race. Wednesday, May 20th, still at Darlington, another Cup Series race, a 500-kilometer race on FS1, 6:30 Central Time start. Then the series moves that weekend to the Charlotte Motor Speedway, Memorial Day weekend for the traditional Coca-Cola 600-miler. The Cup Series on Fox, that is a 5 p.m. Central Time start there at the Coca-Cola 600. So then Monday, May 25th, the day after, the Xfinity Series will run a 300-mile race that night on FS1, 6:30 Central Time. Tuesday, May 26th, the trucks get a shot at it. They'll run a 200-miler at the Charlotte Motor Speedway at 7 o'clock Central Time, also on FS1. And then Wednesday, May 27th, another Cup race at Charlotte, 500 kilometers, 7 p.m. Central on FS1. No fans in attendance, and they will be one-day shows. No practice and qualifying. They show up, they unload, they get the cars ready, and they go racing. So that is the first four Cup races of the return. John Roberts from SiriusXM, also long time with Speed Channel, with Fox Sports, he joined us today on Darren Donick and Chase and gave his thoughts on the return.
Well, I kind of expected it overall, because I think it really makes good sense to have NASCAR lead the way on getting back. First of all, there's a tremendous business aspect when it comes to NASCAR. If you take one of the top teams, for example, Hendrick Motorsports, they employ over 350 people. So when you shut that down, that's a big chunk of the workforce, you know, around that area. But also another thing about having NASCAR lead the way is these are really big outdoor venues. I mean, we're going to Darlington, which is about a mile and a third, mile and three-eighths racetrack with a tremendous amount of space in the garage area. Then you come up to Charlotte, which is a mile and a half racetrack. So there's plenty of room to make this work and to make this work safely. And for another thing, when it comes down to it, that the competitors aren't on one another like they are in basketball and in hockey and football. There's a tremendous amount of physical contact. Once a driver gets in his race car, I don't think it matters that much to them at that point whether there's fans in the stands or not. So all around, I think it makes really good sense. And this morning I was talking to a couple of different general managers of race teams, and they're taking it one step further. What they're doing is normally everybody's kind of around a car, you know, you get it on the hauler and you send it to the racetrack. Some guys stay back and some guys go. Well, they're separating their crews out to where the guys are going to load the car on the hauler, and then you're going to get the hauler driver in there. And all he's got to do is drive 2 hours down the road to Darlington. No airplanes, no hotels involved in this thing. And then the guys that are going to pit the car or work on the car at the track, they're going to find their own way down there without making contact with the guys back at the shop. So I think it all makes really good sense, and I'm pretty dang confident here, guys, that this is going to be a safe event.
So one thing that has come up in all of this is, and people have asked me on Twitter, and we went on in the conversation with John Roberts, you can hear this at thegamenashville.com, the full conversation, is, okay, so what does this mean for the schedule moving forward? What does this mean for the races at Bristol, at Homestead, at Texas that got missed, that at Atlanta? Those were the ones that were rescheduled, Martinsville, everything coming up. They're going to realign the schedule. They're going to announce more dates coming up here soon. Steve O'Donnell, though, the executive vice president of NASCAR, addressed some of the scheduling concerns, including the Southern 500 and what's going to happen there.
It was important for us to be able to showcase a race as close to what normally takes place as possible, but it was also important for us to minimize what activity took place leading up to an event. That's why we won't have practice or qualifying prior to that event. The same thing will be in place Tuesday when we go back to Darlington for the Xfinity race. No practice or qualifying, 200-mile race. And then Wednesday we'll go back with the second Cup race. It'll be 500 kilometers. Again, no practice or qualifying, but live pit stops. And for Darlington, the Southern 500 remains in place over Labor Day weekend. The dates that we've announced today will be realigned dates. We'll have more details that will be out to you shortly, but as I'm sure you can appreciate, we've got some work to do with local and state officials and tracks as well to make sure that all that messaging and things are in place in those local communities of a date that has possibly been moved to Darlington.
John Roberts also touched on this, that I believe there are going to be some tracks that just unfortunately they get left out this year. He referenced Sonoma, the road course there in Northern California, because of all the travel involved. That's one thing that we have to keep in mind, that they're going to try and limit the travel. They've already done NASCAR Goes West, but the championship is scheduled to be in Phoenix. Now, hopefully by then, things are returning to a little bit of normalcy, and they'll be able to do that. But if you look at races that require a lot of travel that are scheduled in the next few months, in the early summer months, they're going to probably change. Either they're going to come off the schedule completely for this year, or they're going to be moved to a different date. I know that the hope is the playoffs remain how they are, but we just simply don't know if they're going to be able to do that. It's a very fluid situation. I saw a tweet earlier today from Bob Pockrass of Fox Sports, and he was talking about the Dover International Speedway that, you know, they're supposed to be at Dover this week. They could reschedule that for a doubleheader weekend in the fall and have both races take place in the same weekend, similar to what they were already going to do with Pocono. They were experimenting with that. So another thing to consider, this is, we've heard about midweek races for years, that they want to do this, that they want to keep 36 races, but maybe condense the schedule. This gives them a great opportunity, even though their hand has been forced, it gives them a great opportunity to experiment with this. So I like it. I think overall, this could be good for the sport moving forward, that they're able to figure this out now. They don't have the fans there to begin with, so they're not worried about all of that. They're just worried about racing. Could one day shows be a thing in the future? What kind of costs does that cut down? I would imagine a lot, because you're spending one night at a hotel potentially. You're just flying in and staying there. So your crews, you know, the a lot of the drivers, they stay at the racetrack, but the crews and broadcast partners, everything, they're having to stay at hotels. If you're doing one day shows, maybe you just get rid of practice and qualifying altogether. What does that do to the product? We're going to find out. This is a good time to be able to experiment with all of this for the future. So I think this is good for the sport. As I said, you're going to get new eyeballs on your sport. I think that's going to be good. That's going to move things along, if I can spit that out. So that's good. But it also allows you to experiment with the schedule. Larry McReynolds, longtime crew chief and longtime broadcaster with NASCAR and Fox, joined us on Darren Donick and Chase a couple of weeks ago, and I asked him about experimenting with the schedule.
No question. It's twofold. It solves, you know, two things. One, to get all the races in, and that's really important for the industry. We know any sport that has had to postpone events or even cancel events or shorten their schedule, that no matter what the sport is, you take a hit. But the industry itself, with NASCAR being so reliant on sponsorship, that's the lifeline of a team is sponsorship. The lifeline of the broadcast partners is advertising dollars. So when you reduce those number of events, it reduces the revenue that everybody gets to take in. So I think the one thing that NASCAR is looking at, you're just not going to create a perfect world. No matter how you try to get there to satisfy fans and teams and manufacturers and racetracks and just go on and on and on, you'll never get there in this situation. So I think what they're doing is looking at the two most important things, and that's the safety and well-being of what people would need to be at the racetrack, which would be the teams, the officials, the broadcast partners, and then secondly, just trying to get all these events in. Yeah, we would hate to see these events run without fans in the grandstand, but to be able to run them and be able to put them on broadcast television or radio for that matter, then, again, it's not the perfect world, but at least we would be back to racing.
Now, again, I asked him that a couple weeks ago before they had the announcement that they would return on May 17th. So a little bit different there, but basically the same concept. They're going to have a couple of these midweek races. Are we going to see some of that moving forward? Now, if the other sports don't return, like if the NHL can't get going again, at least in the near future, same with the NBA, same with baseball, I could see NASCAR looking at this as an opportunity because they still got to make up some dates to continue this through the summer, that you might have a Tuesday night Xfinity race. You might have a Wednesday night cup race. You might have a Monday night truck race, something like that. I believe people would tune in. I know I'm going to, and I'm a race fan, obviously, but I feel like that there would be a lot of people actually tuning into this because it gives them something to do. And that goes back to what I said about getting new people watching the sport, building some of the momentum that they had before, you know, the Car of Tomorrow and some of the decisions that the higher ups made. Another thing that I think that has helped with the popularity of the sport has been iRacing. This was a tremendous idea by the drivers, by Fox, the television networks, NBC's gotten in on it as well, to have iRacing involved. Because one, you get the most popular driver in the history of the sport outside of his dad, Dale Jr., out of retirement because he's running these, because he's done it for years. You have Greg Biffle that ran a race. Bobby Labonte has come out of retirement. He's running races. Jeff Gordon ran Talladega last week. So you're getting fans of those drivers going, oh, I'm going to check this out. And by the way, it looks cool. I got on iRacing. I signed up for an account. I suck at it, but I still gave it a try. So you have other people now that are one, getting on iRacing to race against these guys, and two, they're watching because now NASCAR on Fox and everybody, they're showing it. So that, I think, is bringing in new fans. And it's so realistic. It has changed the sport. It's kept the sport alive and grown it all at the same time. That is what's so neat about it. And the drivers have been doing this for years. I mean, you see some of the rigs that they have. Denny Hamlin's, his moves. You know, Dale Jr., like I mentioned, he's been on there. But another guy that has been competing in these, the Pro Invitational, they're going to race at Dover this weekend, is Landon Cassill. Landon Cassill has been in Cup Series, Xfinity Series. He still races in the Xfinity Series, but he's been a big part of this. He's won a lot of races in iRacing over the years. I caught up with him last week, and we discussed what it's been like doing the iRacing and what this could mean for the future. Landon, what's going on? How are you?
Hey, I'm doing well. Just somehow busier than ever at home during this quarantine.
I know. It's that's what's funny. I talked to Larry McReynolds from Fox NASCAR earlier, and that's what he said, because not only, you know, is he preparing for his TV duties, but iRacing, learning all of that, what you guys have been up to. And it's been a lot of fun to see, because with all this downtime that we've had, I've tuned in every Sunday because it's almost like you guys are really at the racetrack beating and banging virtually.
Yeah, we are. I think that the fundamentals are definitely there. The way you drive a car in iRacing is the same way you drive it in real life. You're just in the comfort of your own home, and you have no risk to your physical body. But, you know, so there's a huge difference there. But it's very cool that the fundamental is the same and the competitors are the same. You know, we're racing against the same group of guys, except the only difference is it's totally even playing field.
How long have you been on iRacing?
I've been on iRacing about 10 years, since its very early stages. I've been on and off the platform over the course of that time, but, you know, I was a very early adopter in the platform, and actually kind of helped develop it to some degree at the very beginning.
I think what's so cool about it is, you know, like you said, that it's like a real race car, but anybody can do it. I just signed up myself. I'm obviously at the very early stages of doing it. I don't have the rigs like you guys do. I've got the desktop steering wheel and all of that. But I think what's so neat is the fans can jump in and you never know who you're going to race against.
Yeah, that's what's cool. It's like going short track racing or local racing, grassroots racing. You know, you can race against anybody, and the way it's structured, you're incentivized to not crash your car and work your way up the rankings. It kind of works just like real life.
So how cool has it been to be able to take the center stage and have the TV time with Fox. I mean, you know, you guys race every weekend, but to have this during, you know, such a weird time in our country, in our world, to be able to have that, to still connect with the fans.
Yeah, it's a really unique situation. You know, a lot of people are struggling out there right now. I'm definitely mindful of that and think about the people, the small business owners in this world that have to fight to survive right now. And, you know, for us, I think the way that our sport has had to kind of pivot and rally is by, you know, changing the way we deliver content during this time, and that's through a simulation. So, you know, it's put us in a position where there's some people on these teams that can still work. There's social media people that are relevant right now. There's sponsorship people, representatives that are able to deliver some value to their sponsors during this kind of hold period on our season. Our broadcast partner is able to deliver some content onto their network. So, you know, it's kind of a way that everybody is just grinding through this quarantine.
Yeah, and you, as you mentioned, sponsors Blue Emu, a part of your team there on your car. So how did all that come about?
It came about through NASCAR and through this Pro Invitational Series. Blue Emu wanted to double down during this time period, saw an opportunity to elevate their brand, and signed on with me before the Texas Pro Invitational race. We went to Texas and finished fourth, had a phenomenal race. And so we built the relationship up from there to the point that, I mean, they're ready to go real racing like all the rest of us. But there's, you know, could be a serious conversation to put a Blue Emu car on the racetrack.
Landon Castle is with us. Do you view this, though, as a great opportunity for the sport, you know, with iRacing or getting back on the track before other sports do, that you could get some new fans? Because the sport has momentum right now, and I think it would be cool, you know, for people that maybe haven't tuned in either ever or in a while, that they could come in and watch you guys with all of this going on.
Absolutely. I mean, it's the opportunity is that there's, I think everybody in the world right now is spun out on how they consume content and what they're looking for. You know, I think everybody's routine is a little bit out of whack. Maybe the shows that they're used to watching, they're not watching them right now because they're doing other things. You know, they're working from home now. So there's just, everything is a little spun out. So I think there's opportunity in that when it comes to content. I mean, that's why I'm making so much content on Twitch and on social media, because I think that there's a lot of fans that are just don't know what to look for. So if I put my face out there and start showing them what I'm up to during this time period, maybe it entertains people, gives people a chance to see who I am, what I'm about, and we can come out of this with a bigger audience than it would normally take for me to invest over a couple years.
So like I said before that, iRacing has helped grow the sport and it's helped keep it alive. It's been fun. You know, one thing Larry McReynolds told us is he's learned about it and learned the strategy behind it. So from the crew chief point of view, that's been fun for him. And it's been a great product on TV. Clint Bowyer's hilarious. I mean, because Clint Bowyer has personality and he shows it. I think it's pretty clear that he's going to be in the TV booth when he's done driving, whenever that is. And he's done a fine job with it. Jeff Gordon as well. And he got in and had fun last week. And, you know, they both wrecked, or Bowyer was leading and blew up. So it's been neat to see how realistic the tracks are. And Talladega was so unpredictable. But here's the other cool part. They're gonna end iRacing, the Pro Invitational Series, on May 9th before things get going on May 17th. The rumor is circulating on Twitter is they could go to a surprise track, and it could be North Wilkesboro, a place they don't race anymore, a place that's had weeds growing in it. Dale Earnhardt Jr. led a crew to clean it up so they could scan it and build it for iRacing. It's close to being done. They could go there. They're putting Nashville, the fairgrounds, on iRacing. Maybe they could race there. Maybe because, you know, with so much talk about Nashville and fixing that track up and getting the Cup Series back here, I think that would be huge to get that going again. But I'm excited about that. I hate to see it go. I hope they continue to do something with it, even when the season resumes on down the line. It's going to be hard for these guys to get on iRacing when they're running on Wednesday nights, but it's still been neat. You've heard about names that you didn't know about. Timmy Hill, Landon Castle, you know, that you've heard before, but you got to learn even more about. So that's what has been cool about it, and so I think that that's been awesome. But let's talk about, again, the return to racing and what that's going to mean. There are going to be two drivers on the track when they hit it on May 17th at Darlington. That one of them was injured in the season opening Daytona 500. That's Ryan Newman. He announced this week he is returning to racing, that he's healthy, he's been cleared, he's good to go. That is awesome news. And NASCAR has granted him a championship waiver that he will be able to compete for the championship. If he wins a race, he can get into the playoffs. So fantastic news for him. And this stoppage has been a blessing in disguise because he's only missed three races now. So he can get back in the car and be good to go. The other one is Matt Kenseth coming out of retirement to replace Kyle Larson in the 42 at Chip Ganassi Racing. He is going to be there for him, and he has also been granted a waiver and can compete for the championship if he wins a race. Now, the Kyle Larson situation is different. It's unfortunate, and it involves iRacing. He was on iRacing. He said a word that you shouldn't say, and ultimately it cost him his job. Sponsors were going to pull. Chip Ganassi had no choice but to move on from the guy that is sitting seventh in points and looked like he was in contention and going to win some races this year. So it's unfortunate. That's why going to Matt Kenseth makes so much sense, because he's so respected. He's so loved in the garage. Sponsors look at him and go, okay, that's a guy we can get behind. And oh yeah, he's a former champion and a race winner. John Roberts, who joined us on Darren Donick and Chase, I asked him about Matt Kenseth and how smart of a move it is to have him in that car.
Well, it's huge for the sport, and I think it was good for Ganassi Racing to think like that. We initially thought, I mean, everybody's kind of saying, well, this young man, Ross Chastain, who's an up-and-coming talent, was going to take over that car. That was a popular theory. But when we spoke to Matt just the other day, he told us that he was just sitting at the house, not even thinking about it. And a gentleman by the name of Max Jones, who is one of the business partners of Ganassi Racing, called him up and said, hey, man, what would you think? And he said, well, let me mull it over for a couple of days. So he said he sat down with his wife, and what they were talking about was, hey, this is a great kid. Because he left it because of the grind. You know, he left because of the huge long season. I mean, other sports start and end within the NASCAR season. And so he had talked it over with his wife and said, here's a chance for me to go back race. And I'm sure, you know, $1 million can always change your mind about what you want to do. And so for him to jump back in the car, the situation's good for him because the shorter weekends that we're not going to have, and cramming three-quarters of a year worth of racing into about half a year is what it almost boils down to. And to get behind the wheel of a very competitive car, the 42 car was running seventh in points after the first four races of the season. So he knows he's getting in an established car. Now, his teammate also, him and Kurt Busch are really good buddies off the track. So now he's going to be teammates with Kurt Busch. So I think there's so many positives about that whole thing. You get some old Matt Kenseth fans that are going to get fired back up. He's got a good ride to drive in. And also now, Chip Ganassi and the 42 team, they have a really, really good driver guaranteed for the rest of this year. And Matt told us the other day that he doesn't know what's going to happen beyond that. He could maybe stick around or maybe just hang it back up again.
My question is going to be, he's been out of full-time racing for a couple of years. I know he came back and helped Roush out for a little bit, but it's been very inconsistent. So how competitive is he going to be? That's what we're going to find out. That is going to be the big question. I think it's a question for him, but you heard John mention that part of the intrigue was there wasn't the grind, that it was for the rest of this season, but the way the schedule was shaping up, you know, they were going to have things a lot more compacted, and they would have one day shows. So it's intriguing to him and his family. Would I be surprised if he comes back and he's not very competitive and he doesn't win at all? No, not at all. Would I be surprised if he comes back and he wins a race? No, I wouldn't, because it's Matt Kenseth. So we're going to see. I think it's a brilliant move by Chip Ganassi. Ross Chastain probably gets that ride next year when he's ready, but because he runs everything, he's done a fine job filling in for Newman, but they want him to continue to focus on the Xfinity Series before they throw him to the Wolves in the Cup Series. Matt Kenseth is the perfect guy to fill in. Jamie McMurray's name was out there, but he's got a good gig at Fox. I think he's enjoying that. So we will see what happens with Kenseth. We'll see what happens with Ryan Newman. You hope that everything's good with Newman, that he's been cleared, like I said, but he gets in there and he's just as competitive and maybe can get a win. It would be a fantastic story to see him make the playoffs. So there you go, Chasing Checkers. We're back. We're back at it. We got some things in the works that we're lining up. We're going to be doing a lot more on Facebook Live, Periscope. Have some video interviews with some drivers and some folks involved in the sport. So I'm looking forward to it. Going to keep doing it every week. The show will drop on Fridays. That is how we will do it. And look, what's going to be fun is here in the next few weeks, we're going to be setting up a race. We're going to be talking about a race that had happened, two races that had happened. So that is what we're going to be doing. But look forward to it. Just search Chasing Checkers wherever you get your podcasts. Rate, subscribe, and review. You can follow me on Twitter as well, at ChaseOnGame. We are at 102.5 The Game, at 94.9 Game 2, at ESPN 94.9, I should say, because we changed. But check that out. And until next time, enjoy the iRacing this weekend from Dover and soon back on the racetrack.